So this morning, I'm just going to spend some time teaching from the series that we've been looking at over the past few weeks. And we're looking at a series called You Shall Receive Power. Now, as a church, what we do is we usually teach in series. So we'll look at what we sense God is asking us to focus on for that particular month, and we'll just teach along those lines. So what we'll be looking at is, like I mentioned earlier, this series called You Shall Receive Power. And Jesus mentioned something in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, to his disciples. After he had been resurrected, he came to them, spent some time with them, and he was about to go back to heaven. And he began to make a number of really important points to them. And they had loads and loads of questions to ask him. Some of them were asking, what's the economy going to look like? Is labor labor going to win? Is it the Conservatives? How does that affect my council tax? And they were asking him all these questions. By the way, they weren't asking, I'm just paraphrasing here. Labor and Conservative didn't exist in that time. But what I'm just saying is that they had all these things in mind. They had a lot of questions that were bothering them. How am I going to survive? What's my life going to look like? My children, what schools? And they had loads of questions. But the interesting thing was this. Jesus responded with one thing. Well, a number of things, but he highlighted one thing as the most important thing for them. And that was in the book of Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Now, if you're like me, you begin to wonder, what is the correlation between the questions that I'm asking Jesus about what my life is going to look like, what the economy is going to look like? What's the correlation between all my questions, all my life questions, and what Jesus responded to here? He said, you shall receive power and the Holy Spirit comes on you. So it's like, what does that really mean? How is that relevant in my context? I understand that when I go to church on a Sunday morning or I go to a Christian event and, you know, we're praying and you fall under the anointing or the Holy Spirit does something to you, speaks to you. I understand that part. But as it relates to my daily life, what does that mean? Is it even relevant? So what we've been doing for the past 4 weeks is looking at not just the spectacular bits or the spectacular things that the Holy Spirit does in meetings like this or in events where he touches the lives of people, he heals through us and does all those wonderful things. But what I said was that even though the Holy Spirit does that, I believe that represents a small fraction of what Jesus wants the Holy Spirit to do in our lives as individuals on a daily basis. All right? So we've been focusing on what the Holy Spirit actually does in our lives in the context of our daily walk as Christians. And we looked at a number of things last week and the week before. We looked at the fact that the Holy Spirit brings comfort to us. He gives us boldness and peace, those things that we need to live our lives on a daily basis. We looked at another thing last week, which was what I called cold love, where the Bible says that in the last days, one of the things that would really mark the end times is that people will not just have a warm, fuzzy feeling towards church. You, if you're not careful, if I'm not careful, we'll come to the point where we might wake up in the morning and be like, man, I've had enough of this church business. Message Pastor Benson, if you wanted. Pastor Benson, sorry, I can't make it this morning. I'll see you soon. Because you're tired. It's like, man, I don't feel like going to church anymore. What's all this prayer business about? I've prayed about this. Nothing has happened. And gradually, Jesus says that if you're not careful, if I'm not careful, we will come to the point where church becomes a routine. It's not something that we're excited about. It's not something we're like, oh man, I love Jesus, you know? And it just becomes a drag. And he's like, oh my goodness, if I don't turn up this morning, Pastor B is going to text me. Jesus says, those are some of the characteristics of the last days. We also looked at something. We said, let's say you hear this kind of message and you're like, oh, Pastor B, oh man, I'm not gonna be cold at all. I'm gonna make sure that I'm on fire for God. I love Christ. And I said, look, that's fantastic. But also, determination is not enough to get the job done. And we looked at the life of Peter as well. Peter was so determined. He loved Christ. He was like, I'm ready to die for you, Christ. But when the rubber hit the road, he denied Christ. So, summarizing what we've been looking at, we've been saying that, look, determination is not enough to get the job done. Your love can become cold. There are times that you go through stuff that only God can bring comfort to you. And we identified one thing, that it is the work of the Holy Spirit in us that helps us with these things. He helps us from becoming cold towards God. When we're tired, he helps us. He brings our faith alive. So really, this, even though you have to participate in the process, even though you need to have the desire to want to know God, it is the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in you and I that sustains our walk with Christ. Do you understand? So, we're looking at the Holy Spirit in that context, in the context of our daily life. Not just the spectacular, but the supernatural in our lives, which we might not have taken a lot of notice of. So we looked at all those really interesting things. So today we're looking at what I've called the power to change. The power to change. And a lot of people know the way I teach. As far as I'm concerned, the Bible is very simple. God has laid it out in very simple terms to us. But let's not mistake the simplicity of the Bible for non-effectiveness. When Jesus taught, he taught in very simple terms. He spoke about fish, spoke about bread, and some people might have been there saying, oh man, this is not deep enough. Tell us the Greek and the Hebrew meaning of bread. And you go, bread in Hebrew is bread. Bread in French is, come on, you guys tell me, what's bread in French? Some people are in France already. We will send this message to them. Or bread in Bristolian is broad. Tell me something deep, Pastor Benson. Jesus kept it simple. Do you understand? So I keep it simple as well. So this morning, we're looking at the fourth installment of You Shall Receive Power. And I mentioned that this is focused on our walk as individuals, not on the spectacular things that we see the Holy Spirit doing. So today I'm talking about the power to change, transformation as an individual, the power to change. I'm going to be looking at about 5 points this morning with regards to the power to change. We see an individual here, and this individual is Peter, one of the forefront disciples of Jesus. And before Peter encountered the Holy Spirit, he had walked with Jesus over a period of over 3 years. They had done signs and wonders. They had done a lot of things. But Peter still had some things in his life to sort out. And one of them was that this guy, when he got angry, everybody had to stay out of the way. Can you imagine if, like as I'm talking now, someone walks in here. This is just an example, by the way, so please, you can. Someone walks in here and they're not used to church or anything, and maybe I park my car, you know, I park my car out there and I kind of like block them from going out. And it's like, whose car is this? They say it's like that pastor guy in the church. This person now bounces into the church, ignores all of you, comes here and he says, are you Pastor Benson? I'm like, oh, fantastic. We have someone who's coming to visit us. And I'm like, oh, you grab a seat. I was like, no, seat. And he comes and he starts to point his finger at me. And he's like, really angry. Then suddenly, Doc gets up. And he says, oh, please, can you grab a seat, please? You're interrupting the service. And he's like, what do you mean? I have business here. How come this pastor has blocked me in and all that? Then Doc, not this Doc, I'm just an example, goes to the back and says, what? You're talking to our pastor like that? Give me a moment. He goes into the kitchen and draws a sword and comes back and he cuts the guy's ear off in front of all of you. How would you feel about that? Would you be excited to come back to this church? It'd be like, man, you'll be on social media. Man cuts off ear of another man in church. That was Peter for you. This guy was an angry guy. With all the things he was doing, miracles, he knew Jesus, he loved Jesus, but man, this guy had serious character issues that would have destroyed his life eventually. But what did Jesus do? Jesus knew that there was something that this man needed, and that is the same thing that we all need. He knew it wasn't, therapy would be good, Therapy would be good to say, Mr. Peter, can you please go for anger management courses? You can register online or you can come in person. This anger issue needs to be sorted so that you don't go off cutting people's ears off. And that would have been great, but that probably alone would not have gotten the job done. So Jesus had an answer for this man. The same way Jesus has an answer for us. And that answer that Jesus had was Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes on you. So how is that relevant? Well, we're looking at transformation, the power to change this morning. It is relevant because you see that after Peter received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he became a changed man. We didn't see him cutting off anybody's ears subsequently. We didn't see him barging and, being so angry and all that. Why? The Holy Spirit had done something in his life. Transformed him. So what am I saying here? I'm saying that, look, one of the things that the Holy Spirit does in our lives, which might be subtle, which might not seem spectacular, is that he transforms our lives. He gives us the power to change. He gives us the power to change. Why is this relevant to you and I? Well, it's relevant to you and I because I'm just picking my points at random, but I'll go through them in step by step in a minute. But the point I'm making here is this. If you and I decide to go it on our own, without really depending on the power of the Holy Spirit to transform us to be the people that God wants us to be, what could happen is that one could destroy a relationship that you have, destroy the things around you subtly. You might experience situations that would be like, man, how come my life is like this? This is what I would really like to do, but I can't do this. So our character and the things that we do can affect our lives drastically. Positively, but sometimes negatively. So let me just go through a number of those points, then I will explain in context. So the first goal that we have as Christians is seen in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. This is the first point. It says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. So the first point I'm making for today's transformation subtopic we're looking at is our goal is to become like Christ. That is what Christ has for us. So attending meetings like this, reading your Bible, praying, doing all these things has one ultimate aim. And that ultimate aim is so that we can become like Christ. People saw the disciples of people saw James and John and Peter once, and they were in the front of the council, and they were threatening them. And when people saw the response of Peter, James and John, the disciples of Jesus, there was a comment that they made. And the comment they made was like, these guys are like, they're not really properly educated. They're like riffraffs in English terms. I mean, these guys are just like riffraffs. You know, look at how they're dressed, man. They're just, who are these guys? They made all these derogatory comments about them. Fine. But they said something. They said they noted that they had been with Jesus. So there was a distinguishing thing about these folks. And that was that they were like Jesus. So the first thing that God wants for us is for us to be conformed to the image of Christ. So that as we're waking up on a daily basis, as we're doing what we're doing, we are becoming transformed to become more and more like Christ. Do you understand? How does that happen? We participate in it. We read, we pray. But it is the Holy Spirit walking in you and I that helps us to begin to conform to the image of Christ. Then we see something here in our walk to become more like Christ. We are faced with a lot of challenges, internal challenges. So, I'll read Romans chapter 7, verse 15. Romans chapter 7, verse 15. This is my second point. It says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not. But what I hate, I do. So the thing we see in this as the second point is this. In ourselves, as believers, I believe that we want to be better. We want to do better. We want to be kinder. We want to be caring. We want to be supportive. We don't want to be angry. We don't want to be inconsiderate. But oftentimes we are. And Paul was writing here, we believe in Romans, and he was saying that, look, man, the things that I would absolutely love to do, I would like to be really kind to my spouse. I would like to be really supportive for my friend. But I find that I'm often irritated. I'm like, oh man, don't talk to me, I'm just busy. Or we respond in ways that we don't want to. I mean, on the extreme, people do things that they absolutely hate. I was reading this was a long time ago, this story about this preacher, a very famous preacher in America. And he said this psychiatrist guy came to him. This guy was maybe in his middle age, he was a middle-aged psychiatrist guy. And this guy was one of the most renowned psychiatrists in the United States. Everybody knew him, he was established. People would, I mean, you couldn't even get an appointment with him when people were. And he was so well renowned, highly esteemed in the United States. He now came to this preacher late at night and he began to cry. And the preacher was like, what's the problem? And he began to tell this preacher that, look, my life is in turmoil. And he now began to say that when he had patients, he was actually abusing some of those patients and he hated himself for it. And he said he has tried every psychological thing he knows that he's been using to help people, but he's powerless to help himself. So Paul begins to say here in Romans chapter 7, verse 15, that the things we want to do, we make up our minds, we make these resolutions, I'm going to be this, I'm going to be this, I'm not going to do this, but we probably keep it up for a few weeks and we default back to our old behavior, which we do not like. And it's like, can I ever change? Why am I like this? Why am I so fearful? Why am I so this? Why? If that's you, you're in good company. Why? Because God knows about that. He knows that in yourself, with your determination, you cannot get the job done. So what did he say? Acts chapter 1 verse 8. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And it is the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us to say, no, this is not, I'm not going to do this. The Bible tells us in Titus chapter 2, it says that we have received grace, that we have received grace that gives us salvation, I'm paraphrasing, but we have also received grace that gives us the power to say no to ungodliness. So, the second point I'm making this morning is this. It is the Holy Spirit in us and the power of the Holy Spirit walking in you that transforms you and I and enables us to change, to begin to do the things we want to do and to stop the things that is spiraling out of control in our lives. Do you understand? So we see that that's the second point. So the Holy Spirit is not just to make us feel fuzzy during meetings and say, oh, I'm feeling, you know, that's fantastic. But his work is a lot more than that. So the first thing you see is that we see in the first point I made is that our journey is to become like Christ. And the second point is that, look, even though we might be determined to do that, we often are not able to do what we want to do. But the Holy Spirit helps us to do those things. So how do we begin the work of transformation? How do we become more like Christ? How do we go on that journey of transformation? Well, two things. The first one is the Word of God. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, paraphrasing, where the Bible says that we should be renewed in the spirit of our minds and we should not be conformed to the world. So it is the Word of God that begins transformation in our lives. So if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, it says, He has made us competent ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So the third point I'm making here is this. Even though Romans chapter 12 says we renew our minds with the Word of God. But if the Holy Spirit is not present in the context of our renewal through the Word of God, then the Bible becomes like a hammer in our lives. The Bible becomes like something that cuts us apart and leaves us in a state where we feel helpless. So this 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 6 begins to say something. Paul begins to say, look, we are ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. Saying that if you pick up the Bible without the help of the Holy Spirit and you begin to read, after a while, it becomes a knife that will kill you. Literally. Well, not literally. I take that back. Not literally. So what that means is this. The Bible says you should, in 1 Corinthians, be kind. It says love is kind. Love is gentle. Love is patient. Love is those things. And you read that thing. You read it. And it's like, wow. I've heard Pastor Benson preach this morning. As I leave here, these are the things that I'm going to do. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to be this. And it's like, look, I'm fired up. And you just get out there and you're about to come out. Someone just cuts you off in your car. But none of you do this, obviously. You roll down your thing. And it's like, what? You cut me off? And you now say these words that, you know, you have to delete after, and you're like angry. And the person you came to church with is sat there by your side, and they're like, hang on, are you not the one that just said you want to? And at that point, you feel terrible. It's like, oh my goodness. Now, by the time you've gone through that cycle a few times during the day, do you know what it does to you? Like, man, forget it. Pastor Benson, I'm so, quite sorry, I can't do these things. And you just throw it away and like, look, I'm who I am, I can't change. You know, then we use this phrase. Everybody just has to accept me for who I am. And you know, God loves me the way I am. Yes, we know God loves you the way you are, but you know that you don't want to be the way. You know you don't want to be that way. You have just reached the end of your rope. That is what the Bible will do to you. It will bring you to the end of your rope, and you have a choice. The choice you have is you can either say, okay, hands up, Holy Spirit, help me. That's why this portion of scripture says that we're ministers of the new covenant, of the Spirit, not just of the letter. So saying that the Holy Spirit does something with the Bible in your heart, if you let him, he helps you to conform to the word. And he gradually brings you to the point that you begin to do those things that you want to do without even thinking about it. So someone cuts you off, and previously you'll have wound down and said, but now the Holy Spirit is working in you, you're conscious of it. And someone cuts you off, and you look, and you wind down and say, God bless you. And the person who's sitting next to you, who knew you 3 Sundays ago, says, what? That's not your normal response. And you begin to change. But it's by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to be a bit American this morning. You guys are just super quiet. Can you turn to someone, not someone, the person who's sitting next to you and say to them, you can change. So, the truth of the matter is this. As believers, there are things that we really want to change. And we feel stuck. And God knows that. That's why he's given us the Holy Spirit. So, the third point I made is that transformation starts with the Word of God. However, it is mixed with the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what really gets us moving on the journey of transformation. Now, 5 points. I have 2 more to go, then we will just pray. The fourth point I'm making this morning is that the Holy Spirit is responsible for your internal change. Now, all these things that I'm saying might not sound too exciting, but they are things that will really bring our lives to a point in Christ where we enjoy our walk with Christ. We change and we're transformed, and we begin to see the things in our lives that we want to see. Do you understand? So the fourth point is this. The Holy Spirit is the one that is responsible for change internally. I'll read from Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such thing there is no law. So, if you're feeling anxious, the Holy Spirit gives you peace. If you are annoyed and you want to tell someone off because they've aggravated you, the Holy Spirit gives you kindness. If you are tired and you're like, I've had enough of this thing, all this church business is too much, I'm not going today, or you are finding it hard to keep up or to carry on, he helps you to be faithful. So, The Bible says against these things there's no law. You cannot live your life law-driven. What do I mean by that? Yes, the Bible has expectations of us. You should not do this, you shouldn't do that. But those are not the standards that drive us. What the Holy Spirit does is it's like a reverse thing where he walks in you and I in such a way that we fulfill the law, in such a way that we are kind, in such a way that we're good, and in such a way that we're faithful, but inside out. Do you understand? So he's the one that does the transformation for us. And the last one that I'm going to be looking at this morning is Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 27. And it says, I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. So this summarizes what I'm saying, which is the last and the final point, that it is the Holy Spirit in us that causes us to walk in the decrees of God. He's the one that empowers us to desire God. He's the one that empowers us to be excited about the things of God. He's the one that makes your relationship or your response in the context of your relationship kind and gentle. He's the one that strengthens and gives you hope. He's the one that gives you joy that is not based on externalities. Do you understand? So, what am I saying this morning? I'm saying this morning that the Holy Spirit is available to you and I to help us in this Christian walk, so that your Christian walk isn't one that is like a drag. It's not like a drab. And I'm not rhyming there, by the way. It is not something that is like, do I have to read my Bible? No. You will get there if you do not lean on the Holy Spirit. You might pretend that you're not there, but if you do not depend and become conscious that the Holy Spirit is available to help you, that is what life could look like. For me, as an individual, I have to do the same thing. And when I began to really understand this, I was like, man, this is fantastic. So there are times that I wake up in the morning and I'm so excited. Someone was asking me at work, and I don't know if they meant this as a compliment, and they're like, why are you smiling so early in the morning? Why do you seem so excited? And I'm like, well, actually, I don't know. Because I'm like, I really have no reason to be excited in this circumstance, but I am just excited anyway. Then I remember that, wow, it's the Holy Spirit walking in me that is causing the joy to bubble up. Do you understand? This morning, I'm going to ask us to rise and pray. So we've looked at five things this morning. We've said our aim is to be conformed to Christ. The second thing is that we're powerless to change ourselves. There are things we want to do, but we're not able to do those things. I've said that transformation starts with the Word of God in our lives, but it can also be a killer for us, because if the Word of God is not mingled with the power of the Spirit, it will push us to the place where we can't do anything and we seem like, man, what's the point of this? And it is the Holy Spirit in us that walks inside out. So this morning, I would just like us to have a personal moment with God this morning. And, you know, I just want us to ask God for help. Very simple. Ask him to help you. And just say, look, in my Christian walk, I want to enjoy my relationship with you, Christ. I don't want it to be a drag. I don't want it to be something that I'm just like, oh my goodness, what is this Christian thing about? There are things in my life that I hate doing, but it seems like, wow, I'm just powerless to change. But now I understand that the responsibility doesn't lie with me. The decision lies with me, but the actual power to change is with you. God help me. Holy Spirit, help me to be conscious. Father, I just pray this morning. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you because we know that you're here, always. We know that you're the one that comforts us in our troubles, even when we're not aware. Lord, I'm praying for your people this morning. I have spoken your word as you've asked me to. For anyone that is here, and even those that will listen to this message that need comfort, Holy Spirit, comfort them. For those that are afraid, those who are afraid of what is going to happen in the future, bring comfort to their fears, oh God. Father, we just want to thank you and we give you praise this morning. In Jesus' mighty name.